The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Book 11, Chapter 6, and this is just an excerpt from the first part of that chapter. He writes, "At first, tragedies were brought on the stage as a means of reminding men of the things which happened to them, and that it is according to nature for things to happen so, and that if you are delighted with what is shown on the stage, you should not be troubled with that which takes place on the larger stage." Now, the reason why I selected this is because over the last couple of weeks, I have recommended a movie to three or four people. It's a movie I saw a while ago and stands out in my mind as a unique movie. It is the movie Synecdoche, New York by Charlie Kaufman. I'm not going to really say what it's about other than the fact that it is a very intense movie that has themes of Koheles and maybe Eov to a lesser extent, but mostly Koheles. And I was recommending this, and I recommended it to a couple of my students and some of my former students. And then like a week after, then one of my students who I'd recommended it to asked if I wanted to watch it again. And I had to think for a while, and I said, you know what, I don't, because I'm just not in the mood to get into that headspace. It is a depressing movie in a way, but I had also just recently watched it during coronavirus, the very beginning of the pandemic. What am I saying? I watched it earlier this year in the depth of the pandemic. Either way. I have to be in the mood to watch movies like that, but I do enjoy movies like that. And I've often thought about why. And I think that this quotation from Marcus Aurelius really highlights why I like it. But before I talk about that, let me talk about an alternative perspective on tragedies. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Aleva Shalom, wrote a lot about how anti tragedy Judaism is, and I actually don't have the book in which I first read his words on this, but let me read to you from this Devar Torah I found online called The Birth of Hope, B'chukosai 5779. So this is from Rabbi Sacks. He says, "In the ancient world, there were tragic cultures in which people believed that the gods were at best indifferent to our existence, at worst actively malevolent. The best humans can do is to avoid their attention or appease their wrath. In the end, though, it is all in vain. We are destined to see our dreams wrecked on the rocks of reality. The great tragedians, is that how you say it, were Greek. Judaism produced no Sophocles or Aeschylus, I always forget how to pronounce that, no Oedipus or Antigone. Biblical Hebrew did not even contain a word that meant tragedy in the Greek sense. Modern Hebrew had to borrow the word, hence tragedia. Then there are secular cultures, like that of the contemporary West, in which the very existence of the universe, of human life and consciousness, is seen as the result of a series of meaningless accidents intended by no one and with no redeeming purpose. All we know for certain is that we are born, we live, we die, we will die, and it will be as if we had never been. Hope is not unknown in such cultures, but it is what Aristotle defined as a, quote, waking dream, a private wish that things might be otherwise. As seen through the eyes of ancient Greece or contemporary science, there is nothing in the texture of reality or the direction of history to justify belief that the human condition could be other and better than it is. Judaism is not an expression of this mood." And then Rabbi Sacks goes on to talk about Koheles and how Koheles is the closest thing to tragedy in the Torah Shebichtav, in the written Torah. But then he goes on to argue that Judaism is really the opposite of this, and he concludes by saying Judaism is the principled rejection of tragedy in the name of hope. I'll include a link to this Devar Torah in case you want to read about his full view here. So he makes the point that Judaism is anti-tragedy in the sense that we don't believe that the universe is just this random, is either random or that we are destined, that there's like this blind destiny that governs our lives and that nothing we can do can change it. Obviously, Judaism is founded on the principle of bechira, of free choice, and the fact that we can change our own fate, and it's also based on the idea of reward and punishment, and teshuva, the fact that we can change our ways and be deserving of divine favor, and all these themes are really against Greek tragedy in the sense that Rabbi Sacks portrays it. However, I think that there is an element of Greek tragedy that is consistent with Judaism in the way that Marcus Aurelius portrays it, namely an application of the Stoic technique of premeditatio malorum, of thinking about the bad things that could happen in order to prepare ourselves for them and to learn from them. And there's an excerpt, I think the first time I actually thought about the role of sad movies or tragic dramas was in this excerpt from, I think this was a posthumously published writing from Mark Twain, a review of a play called Master of Palmyra. And I'm going to read that excerpt here because I think it's a really good articulation of why I enjoy sad movies. So Mark Twain says, "I know people who have seen it, the play, 10 times. They know it most of it by heart. They do not tire of it, and they will say that they shall still be quite willing to go and sit under its spell whenever they get the opportunity. This piece is just one long, soulful, sardonic laugh at human life. Its title might properly be, 'Is Life a Failure?' and leave the five acts to play with the answer. I am not at all sure that the author meant to laugh at life. I only noticed that he has done it. Without putting into words any ungracious or discourteous things about life, the episodes in the piece seem to be saying all the time, inarticulately, note what a silly, poor human thing human life is, how childish its ambitions, how ridiculous its pomps, how trivial its dignities, how cheap its heroisms, how capricious its course, how brief its flight, how stingy in happinesses, how opulent in miseries, how few its prides, how multitudinous its humiliations, how comic its tragedies, how tragic its comedies, how wearisome and monotonous its repetition of its stupid history throughout the ages, with never the introduction of a new detail, how hard it has tried from the creation down to play itself upon its possessor as a boon and has never proved its case in a single instance." Okay, now that part really is, I'm going to pause for a second, that part really is much more like Rabbi Sachs's characterization of tragedy, not Aurelius's characterization, but Mark Twain goes on. "It is right and wholesome to have those light comedies and entertaining shows, and I shouldn't wish to see them diminished, but none of us is always in the comedy spirit. We have our graver moods. They come to us all. The lightest of us cannot escape them. These moods have their appetites, healthy and legitimate appetites, and there ought to be some way of satisfying them. It seems to me that New York ought to have one theater devoted to tragedy. With her 3 millions of population and 70 outside millions to draw upon, she can afford it. She can support it. America devotes more time, labor, money, and attention to distributing literary and musical culture among the general public than does any other nation, perhaps. Yet here you find her neglecting what is possibly the most effective of all the breeders and nurses and disseminators of high literary taste and lofty emotion, the tragic stage. To leave that powerful agency out is to haul the culture wagon with a crippled team. With a tragedy tonic once or twice a month, we shall enjoy the comedies all the better. Comedy keeps the heart sweet, but we all know that there is a wholesome refreshment for both mind and heart in an occasional climb among the solemn pomps of the intellectual snow summits built by Shakespeare and those others. Do I seem to be preaching? It is out of my life. I only do it because the rest of the clergy seem to be on vacation." Okay, now you know what? Okay, this is a proof to you that I don't plan these ahead of time. I thought that this excerpt from Mark Twain echoed the sentiment by Marcus Aurelius, and I'm realizing after reading it that it doesn't. In fact, Mark Twain seems to be talking about the psychological need for tragedy as a means of enjoying life more. By focusing on and empathizing with the characters who suffer these tragedies, then we appreciate what we have. And that is one of the reasons I do enjoy tragedies it contributes to the feeling of sameach b'chelko, of appreciating what I have. And that is in line with Judaism. But that's really not the point that I wanted to make this podcast episode about. Let's go back to Marcus Aurelius for a second and reread it in light of what we've said. "At first, tragedies were brought on the stage as a means of reminding men of the things which happened to them, and that it is according to nature for things to happen so, and that if you are delighted with what is shown on the stage, you should not be troubled with that which takes place on the larger stage." So as I mentioned, this tragedies can serve as a means of reminding you that, yes, these things happen and they could happen to you. And the best thing you can do to diminish the suffering that comes from them is to practically and mentally prepare yourself for when these things do happen. And again, drama, fiction, movies are a good way of doing this because you do become emotionally invested in the characters and in the story. And experience in a vicarious manner, if it's a well-crafted piece of fiction, you have a vicarious experience, which you can then reflect on as if it happened to you, but without it ever having happened to you. Now, Judaism does obviously take this one step further, which is the fact that, you know, we do this with real events that happened, when we reflect on the tsaros, on the tragedies of the past, especially on the national, on the public fast days, where, like the Rambam says, the purpose of these national fast days is to reflect on the tragedies that befell our ancestors, our forefathers, because of their iniquities, which still exist within us, which make us subject to these iniquities as well, and that we need to do tshuva for. So whereas the Stoics really relate to tragic plays as a way to look into the future and prepare yourself for future tragedies, Judaism additionally looks to the past, at things that happened to us in the past, and helps us to bring that into the present, realizing that we partake of those same faults, and then from there look into the future. So it is a more reality-based model, in the sense that it's drawing upon real instances, whereas we experience our tragedy, how would I put it, our tshuva triggered by tragedy from real events that have happened to us and our forefathers and that we're still suffering from, rather than a genre of fiction. So just to summarize here, we have, how many views do we have here? We have Marcus Aurelius's view of tragedy, which is premeditatio malorum, of thinking about the bad things that can happen as a way to prepare for them. Then you have Rabbi Sacks's view of tragedy, which is anti-Jewish, because it depicts mankind as being in a world of fate, or a world of chance, which really amount to the same thing, in the sense that it takes away all human agency. Whereas Judaism promotes a view of hope and through doing tshuva and through divine assistance and support. Then you have Mark Twain's view of tragedy, which is that by satisfying the appetites for our darker moods, that helps us to appreciate the good things in life, which again relates to Judaism in terms of sameach b'chelko, in terms of being happy with what you have. And then you have this last point that I'm making here, which is we don't run away from the tragedies in our past. In fact, we immerse ourselves in them. I mean, we're coming up to the summer where we have the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av, and we immerse ourselves in them in order to learn from the past, apply to the present, and prepare for the future. That is it for today's episode. If you have gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Link is in the description. Also, if you do end up watching Synecdoche, New York, and need someone to talk about it with, feel free to email me at rabbiSchneeweis@gmail.com or reach out to me however else you want to. I will eventually rewatch it, I'm sure, but you got to be prepared for it. It's a heavy movie. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.